That was just in time, wasn't it? Or not quite. Good morning, everybody. As Becky said, my name's Mike. Let me just move that out of the way, otherwise I'll definitely trip over it. I'm a volunteer here at The Forge, and it's great to be here on such a sunny, lovely day with such energy in the room. It was great to see a load of you dancing as Izzy sang We Are Family. We are in the second part of this series, United, considering what it looks like when we come together as a community engaged in a shared purpose, united in our mission, and that when we do that, great things can happen. And that's what we're looking over the month of May. And if you missed last week, then please do catch up. Steve's talk that kicked off this series is a very helpful start to what we're trying to get to with this series. And so I'd really encourage you to catch up on that as Steve reminds us what the mission and vision for The Forge is, what motivates us, what drives us, and what is the driving force behind why we do what we do, and how having a shared mission can be motivating and engaging for all of us. And today I'm continuing this theme, but I'm specifically looking at how, as individuals, we can serve within the church that can result in us feeling valued and thrive, both in our own lives, but also when we are united in this community towards a shared purpose. And if that immediately puts you off, there was a few talked about money now, talk about serving. If that immediately puts you off, perhaps it's your first week here this morning, and if that is your first week, then you are so, so very welcome. We're so pleased that you're here with us this morning. Or perhaps you've just been exploring this church stuff, and now you're thinking, great, it's all about themselves, and I'm not part of this, and I don't matter, what is the point in this? Please, please do bear with me for the next few minutes. Because this is the part of the ideal series for you to be here, because you're getting a kind of a front row seat into what matters most to us here at The Forge. And how actually we want everyone to feel belonging here, whether you've been here for 1 week or 30 years, we want you to feel that belonging. And actually, indeed, whether you believe something or not, we want you to feel like you belong. Now, thinking about belonging, we started off this morning with a song, We Are Family. It was actually sung by my daughter, Izzy, and now she's gone to serve in transit, so I can say anything I like about her, which is fantastic, but she was great. And family can be an example of where we may feel like we belong, or maybe we feel united with others. Perhaps for some of you, family isn't that great example, and you may find your belonging in your friendship group, or your sports team, or your place of work. But wherever that is, it will be somewhere where you feel a sense of security, a sense of unity, and therefore a sense of belonging. And when we find those things, there can be therefore a desire for us to then contribute positively to that setting that we find that belonging in. Now, I'm lucky enough, I found that within my own family when I was growing up with my mum and dad. I had three older sisters. Liz is here this morning, and it's her birthday this morning. So if you see Liz, please do say happy birthday to her. If you know Liz, you know Liz. she will definitely be remembering your name and speaking to you. But yeah, it's Liz's birthday. And we grow up as a family. I had three older sisters. They're all much older than me. Although I'm the one with the grey hair. I think that must have to do something with hair dye or something, I'm sure. But I grew up and we all kind of contributed positively to the family. We all played our part. For example, I'm the golden child. It's just the way it is. You know, there's one in every family, you'll know. And now I'm married to Claire. And I have two teenage daughters, yes, one Izzy and the other Mia. And we as a family unit all play our part and we contribute. I walk the dog, I do the bins, I do the finances, I cook barbecues, obviously. I'm the taxi driver and must do loads of other things. Oh, yeah, I've got a healthy, unhealthy obsession with clearing the draining board, which I think I shared last time I was speaking. So you can see how prominent that is in my mind. And so we all play our part. And Claire will have her responsibilities and her jobs and the things that she does. And Mia has hers as well. And then there's Izzy. And Izzy helps us feel really valued in that. Because what she'll do, she'll leave things lying around all over the place so that we feel an even greater sense of contribution to a family as we go around the house tidying up after her. As I said, there's a benefit when people, when young people serve. They're not in the room when you're talking about them. This concept of contributing to something bigger than just us is what I want to focus on today. And I gave a few examples, aside from family, where we may feel that belonging. And one of those for you may be the workplace. Now, I've worked for the same company for the last 24 years. I know I don't look that old. And it's a US company. And I work a lot with people from lots of other countries, including many from the US. I spend my time on Teams calls and webinars, so I get to hear a load of corporate jargon, absolutely loads of it. You know, I hear words like synergy and bandwidth and let's get a helicopter view and who's on the bus and who's off the bus and let's trim the fat. And this one is really weird. I've genuinely heard this in a teleconference. See if the juice is worth the squeeze. I don't even know what that means. But there's another one which is that I've heard used, and it's particularly apt for this morning. I don't particularly like it. I think it's a bit crass, but it's this. It's to have skin in the game. And that's to have a personal stake in a desired outcome. It's about being personally invested, being committed to something, willing to invest in or risk something. If it really matters to you, you'll put your skin in the game. You'll contribute. And as we think today about serving as part of this church, I want to ask you a question. Do you have your skin in the game? What contribution are you making, or what part could you play in what we do here at The Forge? And as I've been preparing for today, I've been thinking about being a contributor. It made me think about how in our society, we're actually pushed towards being more like consumers through advertising, through social media, through just a general sense of how we're expected to spend our time and money. We're expected to consume. Spending money on fast food and clothes and entertainment, etc. We end up going to things, attending things, watching things. And it's not that those things in of themselves are bad, not at all. But the constant focus is drummed into us about consuming stuff. And consumerism gives this kind of permission to just sit back, relax, and consume. And the reality is, this is where the tension is. Because that happens in other areas of our life, including church. We start attending a church for the first time, or we perhaps move churches into another church, and we will be consumers. And of course, at first, that's totally natural and absolutely fine. Or perhaps we've been going somewhere for a while, and perhaps we have been part of it, but we go through a season of life, and we just need to be here and consume. And if that's you, that's fine. That's absolutely cool. And we are so, so glad that you've chosen to be here. We understand that there will be people and there will be times when you just need to be here and consume. And as time goes on, there should be this move towards contribution. Because churches are not just places to go to or services to attend or places to be. No, church is a community to contribute into, to be a part of. Why? Because of this. Because we are not just consumers. We are called to be contributors. United in church community, we are designed and called to contribute, to have our skin in the game. And we're going to unpack what that might look like this morning. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus started a movement. An event happened. He died and rose again. And he called his followers to launch a movement that is still going today, that survived significant persecution, survived powerful people and governments over centuries trying to eradicate it. It survived and continues to do so because of people not just consuming, but due to people contributing. And that responsibility to continue that sits with us today as part of the church in 2024. You know, the reality is that the word church is quite misrepresenting what was intended by Jesus when he launched this thing. The Greek word would have been this. It would have been ecclesia. And it means movement or community or gathering. It's a being word. It's a word that's alive. And Paul, who wrote most of what we now call the New Testament part of the Bible, he traveled around the Mediterranean and further afield, spreading the good news of Jesus, helping communities of this ecclesia movement. And he would kind of write letters to these groups, instructing and encouraging and correcting them in how to be communities that reflected the life of Jesus. In fact, he described, in his own words, this movement as the body of Christ. I'm going to come back to that thought in a few minutes. And one of the communities that Paul had visited and helped establish was a group of people in a place called Corinth in Greece. And he wrote to them about some of the number of issues that they were having. You know, Corinth was an interesting place culturally. It was a city of commerce. It was a seaport. There was lots of wealth, but also lots of poverty. You know, there was a business. There was a mix of people, business people, and on the other end, slaves. It was a bustling place. People had traveled from various parts of the world and found themselves in Corinth. It was also a very competitive culture. It was due to the commerce, but also things like sport and competition and things like that. And this growing community of Christians were a real mixed bunch because of the cultural context. And they were used to kind of, they also had kind of like, they would watch various forms of entertainment. So they were used to consuming things. And this, they had some real challenges. There was this competitiveness. There was an element of consumerism, you know. They also struggled significantly with unity. They wanted to define themselves by what made them unique as individuals rather than what kind of held them together or being united as one. So Paul writes this letter that we now call 1 Corinthians to tackle a number of issues. And one of those issues is talking about the importance of properly understanding spiritual gifts. Those being the gifts and abilities given to us by God to love others and to share the good news of Jesus. And because of this kind of competitiveness, this rivalry and arguments amongst this group, they started to discuss who had the greatest gifts. Which ones were the most important? Which ones did and didn't matter? And inevitably, on the flip side of those discussions would have been people perhaps feeling inadequate and not valued. And so Paul said, hey, listen. And he wrote these words to this group. He said this: there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. And it should continue. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does all of the work in us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And in order to reinforce what he's saying, he goes on to spell it out with this metaphor. He says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole, one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ, or the church, the community. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has different parts, not just one part. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would it make it any less part of the body? Or if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And Paul goes to lengths with this metaphor to say, look, guys, everyone is needed. And actually, what I think we can take from this today here at the Forge, whether you've been here 2 weeks or 30 years, are these three things. As a community, we are all connected by God. We all need each other in this community. And number three, we all have a role to play. to contribute. We can all belong, we're all needed, and we can all contribute. Now, perhaps this morning you're sitting here and you're saying, I get that, Mike, but I just don't know how I can contribute. Or you don't know my past. You don't know the things I've done. You wouldn't want me to be involved. Or perhaps you're just feeling inadequate. And I want you to know that you are valuable to God because you are uniquely created by God. You're also valuable because you were created for a purpose. Maybe you look around the church and you look at everybody else and you might feel like you're not good enough or talented enough or smart enough or spiritual enough to make a difference around here. Well, Paul tackles this in continuing this metaphor to this community in Corinth. He says this, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. Every part matters. Every part. Your part, your role, your contribution. It all matters in this family of God. You're intrinsically valuable because you are a child of God. And perhaps some people just need to hear that this morning. But you're also practically valuable because you have gifts. You are part of this body of Christ, the church, the community that we are. You're called by God. You're chosen by God. And you are capable of doing what God has created you to do. So why is all of this important? What, you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, but why does this matter? What really value does it give? Why should we do this? As Paul would put it, we are the body of Christ. And what's at stake is way too big to just be consumers. If we can step up to contribute, amazing things can happen. You will personally flourish. Our community will be positively changed through your contribution, and lives can be transformed. I'd like you to hear from my friend James as he shares his story and why he chose to get baptized on Easter Sunday.
So, I am James Pells. I am 41 years old. I'm currently unemployed on sickness benefit due to ill health. I live in Debenham and I've been a member of the Forge for just over 2 years now. I haven't had a religious background. I didn't go to church as a child. I had a misspent youth and had a pretty large criminal background, dipping into various crimes to support a life of addiction and bad habits. Ended up in prison for a few years, and while I was in prison, I did a couple of qualifications that led to an award ceremony where a guy called Andy Keats came out and viewed this award ceremony. I introduced myself to him, offered to help me when I got out of prison, which I took him up on the offer, made contact, and ended up being the guinea pig to a mentoring program. This guy was probably the kindest guy I've met in my life at this point, and took me into his home. I got introduced to Taverham Evangelical Church and went there regularly with Andy and his family. The mentoring program didn't turn out, because I was getting pulled back into my old ways. I had a lot of trouble with addictions and obviously wasn't ready to commit to Jesus and go fully committed into a church with an open heart. Due to getting diagnosed with ill health a few years ago, going into the council housing system, I ended up in temporary accommodation, which has then led me to be in Debenham. I had this calling pulling on me to go back to church. I knew that I had to lead a better life. After moving to Debenham, I could always see St Mary's Church down the bottom of the village. One Sunday, I finally built up the courage to get down there and introduce myself and go to a service on a Sunday morning. And it was a very traditional church and people were very welcoming, spoke to me, And after the service came over, the chaplain down there introduced herself along with a couple of other people, one guy called Pinky and some other people called Rupert and Dawn that also come to our church today. They all told me that I should go to the Forge Church as soon as I can, basically. A couple of weeks later, I walked around the corner to Debenham Leisure Centre, where they told me the Forge was, and met this wonderful guy called Steve Fenning standing outside. And he took me into the church and welcomed me with open arms. And I had a great service. It was amazing, leading the colourful background that I've led so far throughout my life has left some emotional scars. I've really held off being baptised all of this time because of this feeling. I had a bit of an epiphany on my birthday where I had a troubled day and I realised that the problems that I was making almost in my own head was about my commitment and about going full-heartedly into the church and accepting God as my friend and as my saviour. This has led me to my baptism. I've found so much strength in giving myself full-heartedly to the church, reading the Bible and learning about what Jesus is, about what he's done for us, and gaining that spiritual strength from that understanding of Christianity. It means everything to me. It's been so helpful for me, and it's given me so much joy to think that I'm giving something back within our community. I feel like the setup and pack down has been my foundation for that, and I'm not in a great position to be financially putting into the church at the moment. So doing the little things that I can within set up and pack down have just made me feel complete. Giving myself fully to him has just absolutely changed my life. It's absolutely covered my urges of addiction completely. I've been able to commit properly, know that everything that I'm doing, saying, reading, and learning about Jesus is true, and being true to myself as just a human being and trying to do God's work. Learning about what it means to be forgiven by God and to know that he is committed to me as much as I am to him. And the relief that I felt inside me is just amazing. I really want other people like me to know that there's something out there that's there. And the strength that you can gain just from the understanding is just amazing. The power that you're given within Christianity and a community, a church community like ours, has just given me so much power going forward. The Holy Spirit absolutely fills me. I've got so much good in my life, and the recognition of that is given by the power of Jesus.
So apparently I'm supposed to try and carry on speaking now. But seeing the transformation in James's life, I can remember James first coming to this. I'm on the same setup and pack down team as James, and see the transformation in his life has been incredible. Thank you so much, James, for being willing to share your story. But it just demonstrates the positive impact in him following Jesus, in just being part of this community, and not just being part of it, but serving being such a big part in him feeling valuable and being able to contribute into the life of the church. And and actually what transformation that has been for him personally. And when I saw James's video during the week as I was preparing for this, it reminded me of something that Steve shared last week, a very simple phrase that he explained, said that this helps explain why he would say he follows Jesus. And I think it's a very valuable phrase for anyone who follows Jesus. And it was this. It was, following Jesus makes life better and makes me better at life. And I think that's something that James could stand up here and say for himself. You know, this is not about earning God's reward or needing to earn the love of God to be saved or to prove your worth. That's freely given through God's grace. You know, Paul wrote to another community in a place called Ephesus where he underlines this very point, and also that we were created and designed by God just as we are to do the things that he has actually planned for us to do. It says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So it's not about serving to earn God's love. It's about thriving through doing what we have been designed and planned to do by God. You know, Steve spoke last week about our mission and vision at The Forge. And our mission is to do this, to help people find and follow Jesus. And we need everybody to play a part in achieving that. And our vision is to be a church community that unchurched people love to be part of. And to be a community means that we need people to contribute into that. And indeed, we have that. But we want everybody to feel that sense of contribution, because both of those things together give us a purpose to work together towards, united as a family. You're not just setting up the chairs. You're not just serving coffee. You're not just playing in a band or doing the PA. You're not just volunteering in kids or youth. By contributing, you are helping people find and follow Jesus. And Paul said this in his letter to the Corinthians. He said this, all of you are together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And it's valid for us today. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And we can all play our role. You know, Jesus himself, when speaking to his disciples, said this to them, the greatest among you will be your servant. You know, Jesus came to earth as a king, but not a king who sat on a throne having people serve him. He came to serve others, and he calls us to do the same. No matter your abilities, no matter your background or what you may have or have not done in the past, we're called to serve and to contribute into this ecclesia movement. So how can you get involved? You know, this is not about ability. It's about availability. You know, being willing to step up, give something a go. It's about taking an opportunity to step forward. And you know what? That step is really, really easy, really simple. After the service this morning, just come down and speak to one of our lovely Next Steps teams about getting involved. Have a conversation, register an interest in a particular area. Perhaps go and try it out. And if you're watching online, we're so pleased that you've logged in this morning. It's just as easy. Just email in to info@forgechurch.com and someone will be in contact with you. As James shared in his story, he got so much out of serving. When he was first here at the church, before he really understood what he believed and everything, or you know, had not been here that long, he just got involved. And he continues to get so much out of his service here at The Forge. And this has changed his view of himself and positively contributed to others. And that, do you know what? That would be my experience here at The Forge, in the areas in which I serve. Whether that's me serving as a volunteer leader in Uptown Kids, and having a load of fun. Whether that's me being an elder as part of the leadership structure, having a load of fun, talking about the leadership structure. Whether that's me speaking here on a Sunday, or whether it's being part of the very same setup and pack down team as James. I've been able to form relationships, have conversations. I've really felt a sense of value and that God is using me in so many different ways. And the same can be for you. And I'm sure there's loads of people here who would say that for themselves. This is not about making you feel guilty. It really isn't. Yes, there are gaps to fill. We would love more people on our teams. Of course we would. But the drive behind is not necessarily that the church needs you. It's that you might need this in your life. You might need to feel that value of being part of a team, part of a family of God. So you might need this to experience what it's like to serve, to be in your sweet spot where you can thrive and contribute into something so much bigger than yourself. Something that makes life better and makes you better at life. So the invitation is not just to attend something. It's to participate in a movement, to be united in this family of God. It's about having your skin in the game. We're not here to simply consume. We are God's masterpieces. We're created, called, and chosen by God to contribute to this community, to make a positive impact in our own lives and in something so much bigger than ourselves. So it boils down to just this one question this morning for you. Are you willing to be a contributor?
Should we stand as we sing our last song?